This is the Banner of Truth broadcast, a program sponsored by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Pastor Hans Overdoen is your speaker. Dear listener, in this second message in our series about Joseph, we think about what the brothers of Joseph meanly and wickedly did to him, and what we might learn from this true story so long ago now. The Bible tells us about Joseph at age 17 being a godly young man, and favored by his father, being just so despised and hated by 10 of his 11 brothers. When Joseph went to find them once on behalf of his father, Jacob, just to make sure they were all okay, being more than 100 kilometers away from home, taking care of the sheep and cattle, then the brothers, at first seeing him, planned to kill Joseph right then and there in a place called Dothan. Instead, however, on the suggestion of the oldest brother, Reuben, who wanted to rescue Joseph from this plot, they just threw him in a dry water pit nearby to starve and die there. But then when some merchant men came by, and when the oldest brother, Reuben, wasn't around either, the other brothers decided, why not just sell Joseph to those merchant men, and then they would be rid of him, and he would no doubt be sold off to someone at the slave market in Egypt. That is also then what happened, as we learn all in Genesis 37, verse 12 to 36. And the brothers take Joseph's special colored coat and dip it in the blood of a goat and send it forward to their dad, suggesting that if this was Joseph's coat, no doubt he was mauled and slain by some animal on his journey to them. So they would cover up their crime. The chapter ends with the brothers hypocritically trying to comfort their father Jacob, who grieved unendingly for his son, convinced he was dead, while all the while Joseph was en route to Egypt and would be sold there as a slave. Well, that is the basic story, but what I would like to focus on with you is how Joseph's brothers themselves have thought about all these wicked events and the gospel message which this whole account teaches us. From Genesis 42, we learn that the brothers were haunted with what they did to Joseph in Genesis 37. Year after year, even up to more than 20 years later, we see them still plagued with the sight of Joseph's fearful face and the sound of his agonizing cries when they stripped him of his special robe and threw him into that inescapable dark and clammy pit, and when they sold him as a slave to those merchantmen en route to Egypt. We saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, that is, begged us with intensity, and we would not hear. This, according to Genesis 42, verse 21, is what the brothers said to each other, when so many years later, they are in trouble, and themselves experiencing from the leader in Egypt harsh and what seems to be such unkind, unmerciful treatment. Their consciences were pricked, and they said to each other, this is all because of our wrongdoing so long ago now with Joseph. For we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us. That is, when he cried out to us with earnest pleadings, and we would not hear. From the perspective of this text, especially, let us reflect on our text passage of Genesis 37 and learn particularly two gospel lessons so crucial for you and me to know. Our text story in all its shocking detail is told to us for one reason, to show us the depths of our sin and depravity by nature. As one commentator put it, this narrative takes us down into foul depths. It is a hideous story of vulgar hatred and cruelty. God's name is never mentioned in it, and he is as far from the actor's thoughts as from the writer's words. The crime of the brothers is the subject, and the picture is painted in dark tones to teach large truths about sin. Do you know these truths about sin personally, may I ask? I mean the truth that sin is an evil that so quickly can get away on us, bringing us to fearful wrongdoings that you yourself perhaps never imagined you were capable of. Who can rein in sin once you feed on it and let it go? Have you learned this yet? How except God restrain us and save us? Who knows what evil you and I may be capable of? Have you learned yet that stories like Genesis 37 about human sin is not just a story about other people, but a revelation from God about you and me by nature, left to ourselves? Or would you say, you can't be and are never so mean and heartless towards people as these brothers of Joseph were in our text passage? What about hardness and harshness and insensitivity on your part, even towards your own family, with your spouse or your children, or over against your mom and dad or your brothers and sisters? Can you not sometimes too be so stone-faced and hard-hearted and cold-hearted towards others, even perhaps to those closest to you? There could very well be someone listening now, just so sad and hurting, sobbing inside even, because of so little love and respect and gentle care and kindness being shown by you, but only most cold and harsh treatment. I wonder who, hearing this broadcast, may be hiding a skeleton of evil in your life, pretending coldly nothing really has ever happened at all. Dear listener, younger or older, are you into sins in any way at all, pretending all the while that it isn't so at all? What hypocrisy you and I are capable of, and might any one of us be involved with even at this time, God knows. Our text passage brings out how great our sins and miseries are by nature. And I ask, is this something you too have become convicted of in your own life? The brothers in Genesis 42:21 were beginning to be convicted after decades of living in sin, also with their secret sin of what they did against Joseph. Verily, they said to one another, we are guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. How about you? Are you awakened to your sins and sinfulness before God and your neighbor, or not? Do you know of conviction of sin, personally? Isn't that necessary unto true salvation from sin? Yes, for calling out to God in spirit and in truth. What our text passage so clearly brings out is that there just can be no deliverance from our sins except God himself provide deliverance, and we go to him for mercy in repentance and faith in him. The brothers tried to be rid of their sin by their neat cover-up with that coat dipped in goat's blood and that lie that probably Joseph was killed. But those attempts, though they hid their sin from Jacob, could not remove it from God's sight. John Calvin's comment here is to the point. Quote, they entangled themselves in frivolous evasions, end of quote. And alas, how many so deal with their sins and so seek escape from their evil doings, but to no avail. Is anyone listening now maybe still into frivolous evasions, vain escapes from your sins? It won't work. Let it be known from our text passage. Others in connection with their sins try to get rid of them just with forgetfulness. But what is so important and urgent to realize, too, is that forgetfulness is not the cure for sin either. We see that in these brothers who for years and years would just forget their evil deeds, only to be haunted and hounded constantly with them in actual fact. You aren't aiming to deal with your sins and sinfulness just by forgetfulness, are you, dear listener? No, please don't. But let us learn from our text passage the one only remedy from all sin, namely applying to God the Savior in genuine repentance and faith. And wonderfully, our text passage also points to the Savior as the only remedy from sin. And let me explain that now as our second gospel truth from our text passage. Here we need to say it truly is just amazing how God, in spite of all the evil that takes place in this very chapter, Genesis 37, how he overrules all things, actually, to provide the Savior that is so desperately needed by us all. The whole book of Genesis shows how God, with the sending of Joseph to Egypt, was providing for a way that his covenant people would not be destroyed by worldliness in Canaan, nor by famine later. And God, through the story of Joseph, was making sure his promise of sending a Messiah Savior one day. And very interestingly and wonderfully, too, in the whole story of Joseph, we have a marvelous picture and foreshadowing of that one and only Savior of sinners, whom God promised and whom we now know he has sent in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Here let me mention at least 10 parallels that we can see so far in the story of Joseph with that of Christ the Savior, 1. Joseph was the beloved son of Jacob, while Jesus, as you know, is God's beloved son, in whom the Father was well pleased. Jesus was and is God's only begotten son, heir of all things. 2. Joseph was hated by his brothers, and Jesus likewise, you know, was hated and despised in his family and by his people. His own family members did not believe in him till after Jesus' resurrection. And we may be sure how that rejection from his family members must have so added also to Jesus' suffering on sinners' behalf. Again, thirdly, like Joseph, Jesus too was sent by his Father to his brothers. And he too went willingly, as you know, going far and wide in search for the lost. But fourthly, out of jealousy, as with Joseph, his people plotted to kill Jesus when they saw him coming. You know a conspiracy was made against Jesus to crucify him, even while he went about only doing good. And as with Joseph, fifthly, there was a person of authority who tried to save Jesus. That was Pilate, you know. But he miserably failed, just like Reuben had, for both Reuben and Pilate wanted to do good, you see, in compromise with evil. And that just never works. 6. Jesus was stripped of his robe and struck just like Joseph. 7. We read in Hebrews 5 that as Joseph cried out from the bottom of the pit in his agony, Jesus too cried out in anguish of soul in his hour of need. Hebrews 5 verse 7 tells us, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. Not that Jesus would not lay down his life as a ransom for many, but bringing out how infinitely terrible and agonizing his sufferings were in doing so. Further, and this is our 8th comparison, as Joseph was sold by his brothers for 20 pieces of silver, so Jesus was in fact sold and betrayed by one of his own disciples for 30 pieces of silver. Again, 9th, as Joseph was sent away as a slave, so Jesus, the Savior, truly took on the nature of a slave, coming not to be served, but to serve. Then too, in the 10th place, as Joseph was taken outside the promised land, so Jesus, we know, once went to Egypt too, in his early days. And at the end of his life, he died outside the gates of the holy city, Jerusalem. Do you see all these parallels with me, dear listener? In the story of Joseph, also in Genesis 37, we see God's marvelous hand, both in providing the Savior, Jesus Christ, and in giving us such a foreshadowing of the Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus, of course, in every way, far surpasses Joseph. Jesus is the Savior, the living and everlasting Savior of sinners, to whom our text passage points. This is the gospel call. Come to Jesus, the Savior, bringing all your sins and sinfulness to him in faith and repentance. Oh, then you will find real cleansing from all your sin and true renewal of life in and through him. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, the Bible says. It also says in Proverbs 28, verse 13, He that covers his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. The remedy from sin is to flee to Jesus and tell him all. He is the great Lamb of God, who by his once-for-all sacrifice for sin takes away the sin of the world. In this message I ask you, have you found your deliverance from sin with his only Savior from sin, Jesus Christ the Lord? Or are you one who has and will continue to harden your heart about sin and refuse to go to this one and only Savior, Jesus Christ? Today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart through the deceitfulness of sin. Amen. The preceding message is available in printed form. If you would like to receive a free copy, please write to the Banner of Truth Broadcast, 9790 Carlton Street, Chilliwack, B.C. Postal code V2P6E3. The message may also be retrieved from the Internet, and you may learn more about the Free Reformed Churches there at www.frcna.org. Thank you for listening.